What's up, everyone, and welcome to episode number 6 of The Roar inside CSU SEM Athletics. I'm Tyler Morrison, Assistant Sports Information Director for Cal State San Marcos. Thank you once again for joining us. If there's any questions you'd like to submit, drop us a line at sportsinfo@csusm.edu. We would love to hear from you. Today, we're talking academics and athletics. Joining us, our Associate Director of Athletics, Todd Sneddon, Faculty Athletics Representative Ben Cherry, and Assistant Director of Athletics for Academics, Compliance, Eligibility, and Student Services, David Nathanson. Gentlemen, thank you for joining the podcast today.
Thank you for the invite.
So I'd like to start on like a light note. I'd like to go around the room here and have everybody give one interesting fact about yourself.
Okay, Ben, you go.
Oh, come on. That's how this is going to go? All right. An interesting fact. I'm a burn victim. I bet none of you knew that.
Did not. Yep.
I did not.
There you go. Interesting fact. Done. Wow.
For me, interesting fact is I am a CSU alum, but from California State University, Fresno.
Okay. I'd say I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's where I grew up, but I call Miami home now, and I'm a huge Dolphins fan, as both of these guys know.
I did not know you were from New Mexico.
Random.
So, like, I'd like for us to, like, give some background info about yourself and, like, how did you arrive at CUSUSM? What got you into like academics and teaching, that kind of stuff?
Sure. Now you want to go?
No, I was going to say I nominate Todd to go.
Okay, I'll go. Perfect. Yeah, thank you for having us. You know, for me, I'm going to date myself almost 30 years. I got my career in academics started in 1991. That's hard for me to say. As a graduate student at the University of New Mexico, so I can relate to kind of David in Albuquerque. By the way, they have amazing green chili stew. If you haven't been there, I highly recommend it. If you go by, if you drive through, grab some stew, it's amazing. But that's
here.
I got my first start. I was a volunteer mentor working with men's and women's basketball. And that's when I knew I wanted to work with student athletes. And so my career, for the most part, at least at the initial stages, was in academics. I was an academic advisor at the University of New Mexico for about a year and a half. And then I moved back to San Diego, California, which is where I was from. And then I started an academic support program at Grossmont College, working with student athletes. And I transferred again. I transferred to San Diego State and was part of their academic support team, working with football, baseball, water polo, and swimming. And so that was fun, working in a Division I environment. And then I started a one-unit class there, a general studies class. But then our director of athletics, Jennifer Milo, recruited me to come up to Cal State San Marcos. And she will always tell you that Cal State San Marcos was a gold mine, and she knew I lived up here. So long story short, I ended up starting here in November of 2005, and I've been here ever since, so 15 years. And really, my goal when I started was to connect in the classroom, again, to provide a service and support for students because of the numbers, you know, one of me as an academic support person versus at that time when I started, we had about 80 student athletes. So obviously today it's a little bit larger, but I met Dr. Joanne Peterson, and Dr. Peterson was starting a learning community across campus for different departments. And so that's how we got involved in the teaching aspect. And I've been teaching, I think, since 2007. David and I both now teach a GEL 101 course, really, which is a lifelong learning skills, time management, organization, academic and career planning, health and wellness, those types of things. So that's probably a long-winded response on my intro and current position as associate AD, but that's kind of the gist of it for me.
Cool. What about you, Ben?
Well, I'll start in 1991 as well. That's when I started as a freshman in college. And the reason I'm starting there is because it was a really important transitional year for me. A lot happened in my family. My dad got cancer and passed away that year. So as a freshman in college, it was really, really challenging. And I had some incredible mentors who just came alongside me and helped me. And I think, and that part of the story is important, not just because Todd said 1991 and it triggered in me, but because after I graduated college, I started working in commercial real estate as part of a development team for office buildings and industrial buildings in San Diego. So I did that for a couple of years and I enjoyed it, but I didn't see it as my long-term career. And one of the reasons was because I kept thinking about these professors who had impacted my life. And I went and talked to a couple of them in a span of a week or two, and both of them independently told me that they thought I should become a professor and that's where they saw me in a career. And so thought about that, talked with my newly married wife about it. And so applied to grad school, ended up going to the University of Arizona, go Wildcats. While we were there, won a national championship in basketball. I was not on the team. Might surprise some people who've seen me play. Not just kidding. I'm horrible at basketball. But anyway, U of A was a great place and again, had great mentors there. And I really realized that I wanted to be around college students. I liked that age. I liked the opportunity to impact them as I was impacted. And so was fortunate to get offered a job at Cal State San Marcos. I was from California originally. And so I was coming back to home, took the job in the year 2000. And within the first year, got involved with athletics and kind of it's a long story. I won't bore you with it, but met Coach Steve Scott. Many of you know him. And one thing led to another. He invited me and some other people to their meetings, which were basically athletics meetings, which meant two coaches and two staff people and one faculty athletics rep and me. I was just like an interested faculty member. And then in 2004, when the current FAR became the AD, our first like full-time AD, I became, and hopefully this will work right now. It's not showing up. Ah, bummer. I was going to do a little reveal, but it's not showing up behind me. That's funny. Anyway, I became the faculty athletics rep in 2004, and I've really enjoyed that role. And have gotten to see us grow from six programs with two coaches and, you know, about 60 or so student athletes to what we have now. It's just amazing. So I feel very fortunate to not only be a professor in the College of Business here, but also to be interacting with you guys and the student athletes. So I really enjoy the role, and I enjoy athletics as a pursuit myself, but also because of the important lessons that are learned as children and as college students that can be applied for the rest of their lives. So I want to be part of that, and I am part of it. So it's cool. Thanks.
Excellent. What about you, David?
Yeah. So my journey to CSUSM and working within academic support, it's kind of been a winding road, but I'll say something that's been a constant has always been that I've always been really passionate about education and the opportunities that it can give to someone. And so with that in the back of my mind, you know, I graduated from the University of Oklahoma in undergrad with my degree in history. And I had always thought about teaching, and honestly, that's what I thought I would do. And so after working for a few years in a nonprofit, working with teenagers who were either on probation or were incarcerated in a facility, I decided to go to law school. And so I went to Indiana University in Bloomington for law school. And pretty quickly, really probably after my first semester, I realized I absolutely do not want to practice law at all. But both of my parents who are lawyers, but neither practice. I knew that going through and finishing, it can still present different interesting opportunities. So I stayed the course, finished in 2012, and moved out to California. And just thinking about, all right, I know I don't want to practice law. Like that sounds terrible. You know, what are my interests? And so, like I said, education and being in an academic setting has been something that's really attractive to me, and I'm really passionate about that. And then on the other hand, the athletic world, yeah, I'm obviously a huge fan of sports. And so I thought, you know, how can I marry these two passions of mine, and while also utilizing my legal training? And so I contacted the compliance director at Cal State San Bernardino, just cold called him, asked if I could come intern for him. And I did that for a year and a half. But while I was doing that, they also had me oversee some of the academic support. And so that was where I really first got my hands-on experience with the academic side of things and beyond compliance. And then I got to Cal State San Marcos initially to really just kind of help oversee and assist with the NCAA Division II transition process. And then through that, came into this position and working with students, helping students take advantage of the opportunities that they have here at CSUSM is what I love most about the position. And it's a great place to be. I love it.
Nice. So now that you have described how you got here and everything, tell people what you do on a day-to-day basis. You know, a lot of people don't know what a faculty athletics representative does. I don't know entirely what you do, Todd. I know you do a lot of things, but, you know, I don't know like the specifics of your job. So maybe give like our audience some, you know, a little background on what you do day to day.
Sure. So yeah, my role is a little bit diversified. You know, obviously I oversee academics and student services, but I work very closely with both Ben and David. More specifically with David, when it comes to our student athletes, you know, David oversees really the class scheduling, the eligibility, you know, and we both combine and focus in on the support that we can provide our student athletes. So that's a big part of our job. My job is really that academic piece, the student development, and obviously the goal of graduation. So from the time students matriculate to the time of graduation, you know, we're supporting their development, you know, at CSUSM. A few other things I do would be, I coordinate all the hiring for the department for both coaches and staff, oversee the policies and procedures. We have, I think we have, maybe it's under 100 pages now, but it might be over 100 pages with our policies and procedures manual. That's been a year by year process to really develop our policies and procedures, but it really is a very helpful tool for our department to utilize. I oversee sports medicine, and I also oversee two sports teams working with BJ Foster as our head coach for men's basketball and our head coach for softball, Steph Ewing. Those are just a couple of things. I do a lot of reports, a lot of behind the scenes, you know, I assist Jennifer Milo, our director. We have recognition for our student athletes. You know, obviously we'll probably get to that, talking about their academic accolades. We have a scholar luncheon that we usually put together, but we'll go virtual, I would imagine, here in spring. But again, the recognition and the focus on the academic side is really a big focus of my job.
Sorry, I'll jump in. Sorry, what was that?
Sorry, I was muted for a second.
Oh, okay. I can go if you'd like, Tyler.
Sure, sure.
Okay. So my main role on campus is as a professor in the College of Business, but the faculty athletics representative role, or the FAR role or FAR role, is one where I have three main responsibilities as kind of given to me, not only by our president, but also what's expected of me from the NCAA. And the three main things are to ensure the academic integrity of our athletics program. So there's a person like me, and sometimes two people like me, on every college campus that has an NCAA program, athletics program, whether it's Division I, II, or III. So academic integrity, ensuring that every student athlete who is competing, practicing, interacting with other student athletes is eligible to do that. So there's various levels of eligibility, but the furthest eligibility you can get is the ability to compete against other schools. And so one of the main components of that is to ensure that each student athlete has achieved progress toward their degree every semester as they are progressing toward a college degree, because that's what we're all here for. And then part of that also is ensuring that they get passing grades, that they're standing with the university, that they're in good academic standing, and ensuring that they're not just taking a few units. So there's requirements by the NCAA for the minimum number of units, the number of units they need to accumulate in a certain period of time, and then also the number of units they need to accumulate in an academic year. So that's academic integrity. The second part would be about ensuring student athlete well-being. And that's really in concert with the athletics department. Jen, as our director of athletics, is ultimately responsible for what happens in the department. But I work with her and Todd and David and other people to make sure that our student athletes are well cared for by anybody else they're interacting with, by their student athletes, by their coaches, by our health and wellness kind of folks on campus, ensuring their mental, as best we can, ensuring their mental health or providing them resources for that, which has been particularly a challenge during this past year with so many disappointments. So academic integrity, the second would be ensuring student athlete well-being. And then the third would be what the NCAA refers to as institutional control. And what that means is that there is a person, the chief executive of the university, in our case is our president. President Neufeld has given me the opportunity to be her eyes and ears with what's happening in the athletics department. And so while she can't attend every meeting or she can't go to practices to take a peek at what's going on there, I can. And so that's what NCAA calls institutional control, because they want to make sure that intercollegiate athletics remains an endeavor of the university and not something that is a for-profit entity or something that is driving student athletes to do things that we wouldn't want students on the campus doing. So those are the three main components of it. What it practically means for student athletes is I look at each and every student athlete's transcript every semester to ensure that the roster, the eligibility roster, is accurate. I'm the last step in that process. David plays a huge part in that role. And then our registrar's office plays a massive part in that as well. And then also stopping by practices, saying hi to students, going to as many competitions as I can, interacting with coaches. And anytime we have a head coach search, I'm one of the people that I get to individually interview them. And I really appreciate that opportunity to get to know our coaching faculty candidates. So trying to be visible to student athletes, trying to be present, you know, as much as I can. And then also being a resource to student athletes with any interactions they have with faculty that, you know, they want a different perspective, or I can provide a faculty perspective on things. So I'm kind of a bridge between athletics and academics.
Gotcha. What about you, David?
Yeah, as both Todd and Ben mentioned, you know, generally kind of from afar, what I help oversee is the admissions process for our incoming student athletes. Also have a hand in overseeing the academic support services within within the department, as well as connecting our students with resources on campus. And there are lots and lots of great resources for our students. And then, as Ben mentioned, I also facilitate the certification process for our student athletes. So that process Ben was just talking about, with ensuring that our student athletes have met all of the different academic requirements to be eligible, as well as the financial aid and athletics scholarship process for our student athletes. So what's nice about my position is every day is a little different, and it's really pretty cyclical. So at any given point in the year, you know, late summer, I'm dealing with getting ready for classes, at any given point during the year, what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis will change. And so around registration, just dealing with registration issues in August, and then now in January, Ben and I are both dealing with certification. And so for me, I like that it's somewhat structured and predictable, but then there are always different issues that come up. And as soon as you think you've seen everything, an issue will come up that you never even thought possible. And so thinking through those issues and finding solutions, that's one thing I really enjoy about the position. And again, working with our student athletes, not necessarily advising them, but just more connecting them to the resources that are available, as well as guiding them on their academic journey as well.
Nice. So I guess the next thing I want to ask is, we've been under COVID stuff for since, last March. And then we just had our first full semester with, away from campus. What challenges would that have you three encountered, and how has that changed your everyday role?
I could talk about this for an hour, I'm sure. I'll try to be brief. I would say the biggest challenges for me personally as a faculty member and as your faculty athletics representative to student athletes is interaction with students. I really have very little. Teaching in an online environment is totally different. And whether it's synchronous or asynchronous, I try to do things with synchronous and tried to connect through this little camera, tried to connect with Zoom going on and whatever presentation materials I had. And there were days I felt like I was a DJ and a counselor and a conference speaker, because you're just talking, you don't get any feedback from students. I feel like I was talking to a void. So I don't want to whine about it, but I certainly would say that there's been, for me, massive interactivity loss with students. And as you heard me say earlier on, and I didn't know Tyler was going to ask this question, but the reason I got into this job in the first place was precisely for the thing that I've missed the most in the last 9-10 months. And I can't wait to be able to, high five a student athlete or to say hello to a colleague like Todd or David or you, Tyler, in person. But we can't do that right now. And I definitely understand it. And I support why we're not doing that. But the lack of interactivity and how small my commute is these days, it's downstairs or upstairs. That's about it. But I'm grateful for the time I have with my family and that I like my family. So that's all good. But I would just say that the lack of interactivity and connection with student athletes in this context, for sure. It's been challenging, very, very challenging, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think working from home has been a new concept. I actually really enjoy going into the office. I don't view work as work. I mean, it's just, it had been part of my routine. So for me personally, I think the adjustment was working in this environment and, you know, going up and down the stairs, and that's really about it for my exercise. But I think collectively, I think the challenge has been to continually pivot with what everyone has gone through. You know, obviously the campus and our faculty have done an amazing job at transitioning from a face-to-face environment to a synchronous, you know, asynchronous environment. And I think the challenge with that came the opportunity for all of us to work through it and navigate together. I think some important principles were communication, you know, making sure that our students were adept at how to navigate a virtual environment. You know, our director of athletics created what's called the CRS team, stands for care, resource, and support. And really it was an effort on behalf of the entire department, our head coaches and administration and staff, to really wrap our arms around our student athletes. And really the thread was asking, what can we do to help you through this transition? You know, and really identifying individual needs, you know, whether it was, you know, learning different platforms and how to navigate those platforms, dealing with COVID, dealing with other personal circumstances, things that are going on in our society, you know, all these distractions, and really just trying to be a resource and a support for students, either personally as a department, and then for outsourcing. You know, again, I think our campus has done a tremendous job of trying to provide support for students, especially our first-time students coming to Cal State San Marcos in the fall of 2020. That, you know, again, with the initial challenges that we were all facing, that collectively, you know, we were able to navigate through those challenges. So those are some of the things that I've identified from a challenging perspective.
Yeah, I think Todd and Ben covered pretty much all of it, but just not being able to have students come in, meet with them face-to-face, that it's been a huge loss, I think, for all of us on here, and has made things more complicated. And same with coaches, not being able to walk down the hall and meet with one of our coaches to discuss an incoming student athlete or a current student athlete's current situation. That's been a huge adjustment. And then, as Todd mentioned, with the support services that are available on campus, those have obviously been adapted and moved on to the online. And so just learning the little differences with each and how to have students access all of that. You know, there's so many different platforms, whether it's Zoom or Microsoft Teams, and so that's certainly been a challenge, as well as just helping students navigate all of those. But I think just not being able to sit across from a coach, a fellow staff member, student athlete, and really connect and meet with them, that's, to me, it's been the biggest adjustment.
And, you know, speaking of those challenges for yourself, what have you found to be the biggest struggles for our students during COVID?
I think, you know, for me, I initially articulated the various platforms, and I think that was initially challenging for students to figure out whether it was new to the campus with Cougar Courses or maybe another platform that was being provided online. And it's just literally dealing with the online environment,
right?
You know, especially if you're moving into an asynchronous class and the student is really ultimately responsible for following the timelines and the assignments that are being presented for that particular class. I think, again, that's where that pivoting came through, you know, where we're just trying to ask the questions, what do you need help with? What are you seeing? What are you having a hard time with? So for me, I think that initial challenge is getting that the fall 2020 semester started and getting our students transitioned into the fall was probably the biggest challenge.
I think in addition to that, what Todd said would be that for students in classes, I think it's a challenge to stay engaged. We know that engagement in work and engagement in school impacts performance in those two venues. And same, I guess, could be said for engagement in their sport or engagement in their team impacts the performance. So I would just say trying to help student athletes engage in the work that they're doing to understand the value of it, even though it's different than they were expecting. It's more challenging than they were expecting. It's different not hearing the professor or interacting with the professor and other classmates. I'd say group projects in the College of Business, group projects are very challenging, and we have a lot of them. It's very challenging when you can't meet the person face-to-face to do the project, or you can't even coordinate things because of how challenging their time commitments are. When I've spoken with some student athletes in the fall, a few of them surprised me by this comment. They said they really miss being busy. They miss having the structure of practice and competition and knowing that every day was kind of the same, like a routine, that they had to create a routine, and that affected their well-being in some ways, because we know what impact exercise can have on us. So if you're going to play, you know, a volleyball practice in a couple hours, and now you don't have that, or you go and run with your cross country teammates every morning and you don't have that, it's like you really miss not only the interactivity with other people, but you also miss the benefits of the physical exercise and the competitiveness that all of our student athletes bring. They wouldn't be college student athletes if they didn't have a deep desire to get better at their sport, a competitive spirit, and a desire to impact the team. So I think those are some of the challenges student athletes face.
Sure. Yeah, and beyond the challenges with moving and taking courses online, I think, and as Ben touched on it, just not having that connection with teammates and coaches, I see has been the biggest challenge for our student athletes, the not being able to be with their teammates and coaches who help them and stay engaged, as Ben talked about. I think that's probably been the biggest challenge that I've seen.
Sure.
And I would just articulate, obviously, the challenge of not having competition. You know, that has been a big focus for our student athletes and our coaches. And it's really supporting them through that transition, you know, because that was obviously a big challenge that we all faced, but especially our student athletes and our coaches. And again, that's where we work as a team, you know, where the resiliency comes from and life's challenges. And, you know, although the news was hard, we understand what we're facing. But I think like we've mentioned, our student athletes are resilient. They're determined. If you haven't, I know that I'm not sure if information has gone out on their academic success yet, Tyler, from fall, but we got to put in some plugs on the phenomenal work they did in the classroom from fall 2020.
That was going to be the next thing I talk about, actually.
It was a good transition then.
Now that we've talked about the struggles of our students, let's talk about the success of our students. You know, come in yesterday, it was reported on, well, I don't want to date our show here, but, we just got word that, you know, our student athletes had their best fall semester ever. So what does that say about our students? You know, they're able to adapt to a virtual environment and still have the success they've had.
Yeah, it's simply amazing, phenomenal. I mean, with all the challenges and the adversity that they've faced over the course of the semester, to perform you know, well above average is just phenomenal. And I'm going to let Ben share the total number of 4.0s that we had, because it's such a milestone. But it's such a testament to our student athletes that they're here for the right reasons. And then they really are student athletes. They've pivoted well, they've transitioned into the virtual environment, and they demonstrated a success. And we are very, very proud of what they've done in the classroom. So Ben, I'm gonna let you tout some of the stats if you'd like to do that.
Man, that's great. What a treat to be able to say we had 41 student athletes in the fall, 41 who had a perfect 4.0 GPA, not a 3.96, not a three, you know, we didn't round up. This is, they got A's in every course they took, 41 students. It's unbelievable. We call them Mangrum Award winners, after the Mangrums who really were instrumental in helping us launch the athletics program and were major supporters over the years. But we also, in addition to those 41, our overall GPA for the department was a 3.22. Now in the spring, for spring 2020, we had a 3.41. Somebody might say, well, that's a drop. Why are you excited about that? Well, in the spring, we also didn't have F grades. If a student didn't pass a class, they just, they didn't get a pass. So we had pass or no pass grades. So it's amazing, which is our second highest ever, the 3.22. And then we had, you know, 74% of our student athletes had above a 3.0 GPA. That's amazing. But yet we shouldn't be surprised, because these are the same student athletes. This is the same athletics program that for the past 4 years, we've been at the top or near the top of the, one of the top two in entire conference, in the CCAA conference, in naming the number of students to all academic teams and those types of awards. So I'm incredibly proud of it. I take no responsibility for it, but really David, Todd, the coaches in the kind of people that they recruit, the kind of messages that they're sharing with our student athletes about what's important, and that the end goal is graduation. Yes, we'd like to win championships along the way, but that's not why we're here. We're here to help educate students, the future leaders of our cities, communities, country. This is just a wonderful thing to celebrate. And when I got the news yesterday, was that yesterday? That was yesterday. Yeah, that was amazing. That's really cool. And there's some individual team that I have the data in front of me, but I probably shouldn't say that, but I'm just blown away at, I'll just say this, the men's basketball team blows me away by the positive GPA, incredible GPA that I think most conferences around the country would be thrilled to have a men's basketball program with the GPA that our student athletes delivered this fall. So just congrats to the coaches who are working so hard in their recruiting efforts. Congrats to the athletics program who's caring about the first part of the student athlete name, not just the last part.
For sure. So.
Yeah, I would just say it's, you know, this continues the great academic success that our student athletes have had. And it, as Ben mentioned, I think it really, it goes absolutely to the type of students that we have here, as well as to the with making academics a priority, and obviously not having practice or competition in person this year has been difficult, but I think our coaches have been able to take that as this is now an opportunity to really buckle down and do really well academically, get ahead in terms of graduating, and our students have just run with that. And so I really credit, obviously, the students. They put the time in, the work in, but also our coaches for making academics the top priority, and then also with who they recruit. That's obviously a huge part, is who we're bringing in here. So it was a great semester. I was surprised. I know obviously we have great students here, but the fall was challenging for sure. But they came through and did better than I ever could have imagined.
And keeping up the positive theme here, my next to last question for you guys. What is the most rewarding thing about your job?
Wow. Just one?
Just
I don't know. I think if it's just one, the most rewarding is we work for a great institution. We have great administration, coaches, staff, and student athletes. I mean, it's just, it's a team, you know, and it's just, I don't look at it as a job. For me, it's not a job. It's just my life. And I'm very fortunate to be able to experience that.
I'll say, you know, I said it before, working with the students, but, you know, now I've been here 6 years, and so I've had an incoming class of student athletes come in, work with them throughout the admissions process, help, you know, meet them at orientation, help them register for courses for that initial semester, go from that through watching them graduate. And it that's just been so great to see their transformation and growth. And so that for me would easily be the most rewarding thing.
Yeah, graduation for sure is a reward. It's unfortunate because it really only happens kind of once a year formally. But I would add to that, that the things that happen a little more frequently would just be either the correspondence that a former student or student athlete communicates something to me about something they remember from class or something they remember from an interaction or a conversation we had, or maybe they don't even communicate directly to me, but I see on LinkedIn or somebody forwards to me, hey, did you see what so-and-so did? They were on the, you know, women's basketball team a few years ago. Or did you see what happened with, you know, the guy that ran the, you know, the 5K for us, you know, a few years ago? Like that's incredibly rewarding. Even if I didn't have a big part to play in that person's success, I probably had, if anything, a teeny little part to play. But there's a few students that come to mind just as I'm saying that, student athletes who succeeded academically and athletically. I think about the student athletes that I had personal conversations with about their life and about challenges they were experiencing. And to know that we have gobs of students who overcome incredible challenge every day and face the world like they face their opponent, and they just buckle down and do their best. And that's incredibly rewarding.
Sure. I've experienced that myself, you know, my first job, you know, you're meeting these shy, timid freshmen. And then when senior year comes around, there are these, you know, team leaders and captains and, you know, they're leading their team as well as they can. And, you know, it's always like, it's super great to see, like, you know, like what you just said, Ben, like we might not have like a part in it. But, you know, it's rewarding to see the progress that they've made over the years. And then lastly, I wanted to...
Can I say something real quick to that, Tyler?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I think the benefit that we all have with student athletes is we get to see dimensions of a student that other faculty and staff on campus don't get to see. Because, for example, my faculty colleagues, they see a student as a student, right, in their classes. And sometimes if the student lets them in on something about their life, they see a different dimension. But as you just explained, you get to see the student athlete from a freshman to a senior captain. You see the student athlete from the practicer to the competitor. You see the student athlete from them studying. I know you travel with some of the teams. You see them studying and putting in the hard work on the bus, you know, instead of listening to music or something else. That, like that, you see dimension of the students that just other people on campus don't get to see. And that's such a benefit.
Sure.
So, sorry, I jumped in there. I just
no problem. And then lastly, what words of advice would you give our student athletes and students in general as we head into the spring semester?
Hmm.
Well, I think words of advice would be, hope you had a safe holiday. Hope you're getting some rest. There's a lot going on in our world. You know, Cal State San Marcos is here for you. You know, if you, as we transition into spring 2021, if there's anything any of us can do, I think my advice would be, please ask. We're here for you. We want you to succeed. And again, yeah, all you need to do is ask. And if we can't answer that question for you, we're certainly going to put you in the right direction on where you can get your questions answered.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, as we get set to start a new semester, with whatever challenges you face, you know, don't hesitate to reach out and ask for help. As soon as you come across something that you need help with and that's challenging, you know, whether that's our student athletes or general students, you know, our campus does a really great job of providing the resources, but you know, we can only help those who let us know they need help. And so reaching out and asking for help, I think is huge, because there's so many different people who are more than willing and able to help. You just have to ask. And then, you know, I always like to tell our students to think of the semester, you know, it's not, and to use a sports metaphor, it's not a sprint and it's a marathon, right? And so to finish strong and pace yourself, I think can be really beneficial.
I don't know if you can see that. It says breathe often. And I have that on my monitor. Maybe I've already shown that to you guys. I don't know, but I have it on my monitor to remind me, because you said it, there's so much going on. I think Todd said it, there's so much going on outside of Cal State San Marcos right now. I mean, obviously there's incredible sense of unease around us, not just with the pandemic of COVID, but with other pandemics, racism. We've got issues in our government. We've got transitions of power. My watch tells me to breathe like a few times a day, and that's bad. That means I'm not breathing well on my own. And you know, COVID affects our ability to breathe. When people have their knees on our necks, that affects our ability to breathe. And so that, just as a word for me, has been really important. Just take a deep breath, especially when you're feeling the unease of the world kind of coming in on you. And then next to that would be, take the next best step forward in your life. You might feel like you can't do anything. You can still take a next step forward. And that might mean just going for a walk, or it might mean doing a little bit more in your class than you've ever done before. Or it might be reaching out to a teammate or to your coach and encouraging them. That's a best step forward. It doesn't mean you have to run the whole race right now. Just take the next best step forward.
I think we lost David there. But yeah, no, it was a great conversation. About academics and athletics. And hopefully our audience learned a thing or two. You know, I think the biggest misconception about, you know, college sports is, you know, they just compete and that's it. They don't think about the academics part of it. And, you know, it's always good to like put a light on. Thank you all for joining us, or thank you, Thrill, two of you now. But Todd, Ben, David, thank you for sitting down and chatting with us. And if our audience would like to listen to the audio version of this, listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, whatever podcast provider that you use. And if you're listening to this, you can follow us on YouTube. We put that video version up so people can watch it as well. All right, well, thank you all again. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on The Roar.